Okay, back to Francis Drake.
So Francis Drake pulls up to Mocha Island, and he's greeted. No, he's not greeted. No, sorry, I messed up there.
Did they throw a spear in his face?
Eventually.
Because that always seems to happen.
Yeah. Welcome back.
So Francis Drake arrives to Mocha Island on the Golden Hind on his pirate ship coming up the coast of Chile. And a couple of his men go out to gather fresh water. And the Mapuches, who live on Mocha Island, think, here come those Spaniards again. Because they don't know the difference between an Englishman who they've never even heard of England before, or English, they've never seen an Englishman before.
They all look the same anyways.
Like what, they call us all gringos, even if we're from Canada or Australia.
Exactly.
Or
I
Germany.
I had this very same argument with that German woman.
That we're all gringos.
That we're all gringos. And she's like, I'm not a gringa. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
If you're a foreigner in Chile, there's like four things you can be.
Yeah.
You're either
kind
a gringo,
of.
A chino, a negro, or...
Everything is culiao.
Yeah.
That's
it. In Chile, it's another, you know, kind of current events. We're not considered immigrants. We're considered foreigners, right? So all the foreigners, I think, usually are...
Expats.
Are gringos.
Yeah.
It's like a gringo or you're like Chinese.
Yeah, you're a foreigner. You're not an immigrant.
You're not an immigrant. Because the immigrants in Chile are like, you know, the Haitians or the Colombians or the
Venezuelans.
The Peruvians. Mm-hmm.
Who move because of a reason very different from us. Anyway.
So if you go from a poorer country to a richer country, you're an immigrant. And if you go from a richer country to a poorer country, you're an expat?
I think everyone is... I mean, I don't... This is how Chileans
it's
conceive
subjective.
It. It's subjective. This is how Chileans conceive it.
Right.
But because I know that they would never call me, like, an immigrant. I'd just be called, like, a foreigner.
Right.
Or, like, a gringa, right?
Right.
I wouldn't be called, like, oh, tú eres inmigrante.
Right. They think it's weird that we would immigrate here because everyone wants to go to the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, have you been there recently?
I haven't. I'm about to find out.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Drake is on Mocha Island,
and his guys go out to gather water, and they're attacked by the Mapuches, and there's a skirmish, and a couple of the British guys are killed. Francis Drake takes an arrow to the face.
Oh, yes.
Are you
calling that one?
The archetypal arrow to the face.
Again, following Magellan's.
Yeah, I'm following Magellan's.
You know, he had to follow the Lonely Guy
Magellan
road book tour to a T.
Yeah. The Lonely
so
Guy.
So he's like, I'm going to expose my face.
Okay, who's going to shoot me in the face now?
I'm ready for my close-up.
Which part of his face was hit? Do you know?
Under his right eye.
Ooh, that's specific.
That is...
was that the eye patch one?
Yeah. Is that how he got the eye patch as a pirate?
And they
Which
chopped off one of his legs and put a hook on one of his hands.
And they gave him a parrot.
he was set!
I mean, the original accounts of this are all different. So on some it says on the top of his head, some it says below his eye. Some say he got hit in two places, on the hand and in the face.
Did he ever get hit on the taint? That's what I want to know.
He got hit in the Golden Hind.
The Golden Hind. That's why he Nice rim shot.
Thanks.
All right.
So the British guys are like, we better get out of here. This is not friendly territory to be restocking our ship.
This isn't a place I want to stay unless I want an arrow in the face.
Not a good first experience in Chile,
but
it gets better. It gets better.
Okay.
It gets better. They're going up now the coast of Chile.
Yeah.
And they're pirates, so they're out to pilfer and pillage and rape and whatever they're trying to do. I shouldn't just lightly say rape. I'll take that out. Rape is a serious thing.
Yeah. It's a serious offense.
I mean, you know, pirates be pirates.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... Arr.
They're there to...
Yeah.
Well, I like the lyrics of this song.
Not follow the law.
The lyrics of this song say what they do, you know? That's what they do. They pillage, they plunder, they
pillage,
rifle, they loot.
Plunder. Okay, so what's the difference between pillaging and plundering?
Like plundering makes a mess of things, and pillaging is like, you take what you want.
Okay, so neither one is necessarily inherently rape involved.
No.
Okay.
That makes
sense. Nor consensual sex.
Well, you remember on Pirates of the Caribbean, like the ride in Disney World when you were a kid?
totally.
And there's like the pirates.
I was there last July. Okay. I went on it last July.
Yeah.
Do they still have? I'm wondering if they've changed it to update it for like the current era.
Oh yeah.
Like, are there still pirates looking like they're gonna go tickle all the women? When I was a kid, that's what I thought they were trying to do. Yeah. They're gonna tickle them. Obviously, they're chasing them with their hands out.
Yeah. It's like, what do I do with my friend?
They've updated it ironically with Captain Jack Sparrow, somebody the likeness of Johnny Depp.
Oh yeah.
Ironically, like that's how they've updated it. And it's the women now are chasing the men pirates around.
Mm. Oh. So tables have been turned.
The tables by Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Disney had its Me Too moment and decided that it was the women's pirates' turn to tickle away.
I see. I thought it was going to be that the pirates were chasing them now, and they have like written consent form and release of reliability forms.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you define consent?
Yeah.
That could be another episode.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode about consent.
Yeah.
All right.
Pirate consent.
Well, the pirates, nobody's consenting to anything in this story because they can't find anybody to pillage. They're not going to pillage the Mapuches, so they're looking to pillage the Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're getting kind of ornery. The guys are like, we've been in this boat for a long time now
without pillaging anything. Mapuche, all they have is the turquoise stones.
Yeah, and their myths.
And their what?
Mythology.
Oh, their myths, yeah. They can't pillage myths.
Well, later on, Elf will pillage the Mocha Dick myth.
Good point. That is literary pillaging.
It is.
So they're sailing up the coast, and they get to Quintero, which is a beach town about an hour north of Valparaiso, right?
Which is in the news a lot recently.
Oh, yeah, because the water was tainted in the school or something,
right?
Yeah,
because of the pollution. And because of private companies.
They should call it Flintero.
It's the Flint, Michigan of central Chile.
It is.
Yeah.
And they recently, I think we should tell this for the posterity. There was an activist who was like probably, you know, he's a young, probably like late 20s, early 30s. And he was really kind of like a young man who was really standing up to the government, the president, who were trying to make this whole cover-up of why all these people were getting sick. And he suddenly was killed. And they said that it was a suicide, but there's really no signs that it was a suicide. So they think that he was assassinated.
For protesting the water quality in Quintero?
For like being one of the big people who led that social movement.
Wow.
So that's like one of many. There's also some in the Mapuche territory or other people for like other environmental concerns.
Right.
So just to kind of keep our American friends in the know that, you know, some things are happening here that are a little...
Our listeners...
We should be careful what we say or one of us might get...
Oh, no.
Get draped. get an arrow to the face.
Yeah. Sorry.
Excellent
point.
Spliced
in
So
Quintero is an important historical place.
It's an important historical place, and that's what part of
By the way, we have no idea who this person is, Sarah. She just said she knew something about Mocha Island.
It's a fake!
She's an anarchist. We had no idea.
She would come in here with her political messages.
CIA.
If you're listening.
Which you probably are.
Take Sarah out of us. Okay, sorry.
So
moving on.
The Golden Mine
I will die in defense of your conspiracy theories.
Not a conspiracy theory.
I know, but this is the first time I'm hearing of it.
Really?
So
okay.
It's probably a conspiracy theory then.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Okay.
It'd be great to find out who this young man was. That's a very unfortunate. I don't mean to make light of the situation. Please edit this all out.
So Drake and his crew of pirates pull into Quintero. It's a nice bay for pirates, like the shape of it, it's like looks like a pirate cove. And they find a fisherman there. And, you know, in the podcast we've been talking about some of these different indigenous cultures that you meet in Chile.
Right.
By some accounts, this would be a Changos indigenous person of the Changos tribe, which is another nomadic canoe-based tribe of Chile that no longer exists, were eventually wiped out by European contact and or assimilated into other local tribes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Chango fisherman paddling his canoe in Quintero, and here comes the big pirate ship, the Golden Hind, and they interact with this guy, and they actually, we know his name. His name is Felipe. Mm-hmm. He spoke some Spanish, Felipe mm-hmm. Chango.
Okay.
So we have you know, another indigenous character here. And the British pirates, you know, they're like, nice canoe and everything, but we want to pilfer a Spanish ship. We're looking for gold and silver. Do you happen to know where we might find a Spanish ship or town that we could loot? And Felipe is like, yeah, I'll help you out. And he signs up to be their guy.
These guys suck. These Spanish people suck.
He's not a big fan of the Spanish. Yeah,
no, I would imagine not.
The Chagos people had, their canoes were made of two inflated seal hides that were like double hulls of a catamaran. So he's got this big inflatable canoe where he's paddling around, uh-huh. and he becomes the guide of Francis Drake and his crew of pirates, mm-hmm. and takes them back south. He's like, you overshot it. If you're looking for a town to pillage, mm-hmm. you missed Valparaiso.
Yeah. That's a big thing to miss.
That's a big thing now.
Yeah.
At the time, according to the written accounts, there was 9 households in Valparaiso.
Well, Mocha Island was bigger than that.
Yeah.
One on each hill. Yeah. I mean,
there were 9 households and a chapel. And okay. so they go down with Felipe Changos as their guide.
8 of them were prostitution centers. And the other one was a place you could watch. You could watch tango. You could watch a bolero.
Spanish?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm imagining Valparaiso like with 9 houses.
Yeah.
But they're still the guys that gave you like a tour of
the Bay. They're still the crusty punks who are asking you for money.
Yeah.
Just like and
the cats like,
in their own vomit. Yeah.
Some things never change.
So Francis Drake comes into Valparaiso, and finally they find what they've been looking for, a Spanish ship.
Mm-hmm.
A Spanish ship. Of course, the Spanish are not suspecting British pirates. No British pirate has ever sailed in the Pacific before.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have defenses. They don't have, like, cannons ready to go or a fort.
Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging out there, and they see a ship, and they think, oh, another Spanish ship must be coming.
Yeah.
So they do, like, a little...
They didn't have, like, the pirate flags or anything like that. They were more low-key.
They must have lowered
the
skull and crossbones. They were a little more subtle than that, I think. And
clearly,
so,
the transformation hadn't fully occurred.
The Spanish ship...
They took off their eye patches.
Unscrew your back.
They put on their regular legs.
And the Spanish ship welcomes them, because they think, and there's some lonely sailors in, like, the furthest outpost of the Spanish Empire. Oh, another Spanish ship. They welcome them. They take out their drums. They're, like, playing these welcome drums.
Ooh.
They're like, joder, tío, bienvenidos.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no hablar. Yeah.
Well, they paddle out without saying anything so they don't get busted by their accents. And they come on board, and the Spaniards bust open a big barrel of wine to celebrate this new arrival
already
of another
party.
Ship. Like, and the first British guy to get up there,
we got
takes,
to let it air out a bit.
Yeah. And while they're letting, what do you call it when you let the wine? While they're letting the
decant?
Wine. Yes.
Yeah. They're, while they're decanting
the wine.
While they're decanting a barrel of wine. The first,
let it breathe.
The first British guy to get up there takes his saber, his sword, and just smacks it into the head of the guy and says, according to the written accounts, he says, down, dog! And they take all the Spaniards, there's only like 8 Spaniards on the boat, and lock them up, and they take the ship, and now they're...
What happened to the wine?
They take the wine.
Right,
I hope so.
They take all the food, the wine, they're like so sick of eating penguin meat, they got, now they're stocking up, they're taking the Spanish supplies.
They got
supplies.
The jamón ibérico, and like,
tortilla
de papas. Tortilla de patatas.
Tapas,
they've got a bunch of, they took over a tapas bar.
They took over a tapas bar, and not only
paella,
did it have,
you know,
tapas and wine,
that.
But it was loaded up with gold.
Mm.
Ooh, that's pretty good paella there.
Yeah. As the Spanish are locking down
that's
this
a good
ship,
paella.
One of the, or as the British are taking over this ship, one of the Spaniards jumps overboard to swim to shore to warn the townspeople, the British are coming, the British are coming. Like,
like a swimming Paul Revere.
Yeah. But with a Spanish accent.
Did he ride like a
seal?
A seal?
In like that canoe,
seal canoe.
I think he swam to shore and he warned the townspeople, and so they all like head to the hills, like, we have no defenses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the British are coming.
Let's get out of here.
So Francis Drake comes aboard, and now he's setting foot for the first time in mainland Chile, in Valparaiso.
Yeah.
This historic port city.
Mm-hmm.
And...
which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
It is.
And we recommend...
It wasn't back then.
It wasn't, but it is now.
It was in
UNESCO
the
process. UNESCO didn't exist. It was the 1580s that UNESCO was...
not there yet.
Yeah.
But it was still in the, a seed in the head of Woodrow Wilson.
Of Boutros Ghali.
Yeah, sorry. But I guess Valparaiso is... it's a highly recommended tourist destination in Chile.
Yeah, now it's a city of, like, well, I don't know, 1.5 million people or something. Mm-hmm. It's a giant city.
Yeah, a million, yeah.
And, but now for Francis Drake, now the race is on. Because now, like, the Spanish know that he's in Chile.
And they're Catholic, and they do not like him as a, or he does not like them, rather.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
They're sworn enemies. And so, from up until this point,
Anglican...
Drake has been able to take his time, you know, coming up the coast. But now... he doesn't know if there's other Paul Revere's riding up Chile on horseback to warn the other ports that he's planning on sacking on his way up the coast.
Pablo Revere's.
Are multiplying.
Pablo Revere's charging up the coast towards...
on the backs of seals.
And Drake and his men are loaded up on Chilean wine and gold. And now they're going to continue up the coast.
But they get back in the boat.
They get back in the boat to keep going, because they're not going to stop there. Valparaiso's not their end game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going as far north as they can and sacking as many cities as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Really, their main goal is to get to either, like, Callao, like Lima, or Panama City, which are the main western coast, west coast ports, where
the
basically the Spanish, all the gold that they're stealing from the Incan Empire, they're... taking
hoarding
through
on the West
Lima
coast. Yeah.
Up to Panama City, and then on mule trains across to the Caribbean, and then shipping back to Mother Spain.
No kidding.
Be like the Vegas
okay.
of... be like the Ocean 11 style Vegas.
Yes.
You know, robbing of...
Brad Pitt as...
yeah.
Francis
Drake. Pablo
Revere. Jack Ives.
Pablo Revere.
Something. So I have a quick question.
Casey Affleck as the seal.
Yeah.
Casey Affleck.
So when this one British person greets, you know, his Spanish comrade, not really, you know, with the you know,
smack
saber to the head, are other people also killed in this? Like, is there like a melee that ensues? Like, is everyone killed?
No
at
one's
that
killed.
Point?
The British. Caught them completely off guard.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish didn't even put up a fight. They weren't ready. This was the easiest prize that Drake captured in his long, illustrious career as a pirate. Because there'd never been a British pirate in the Pacific. They weren't ready at all.
Yeah.
So they just, like, smacked the one guy on the head, locked up the rest of them, except for the one who swam away.
Oh, they, like, kind of captured them in...
they locked them in the lower deck of the boat.
Okay.
And then they continued north, and... Matt's taking a selfie right now.
Well, I mean, it's a podcast. Hi. Gotta get the microphone.
Hi.
Yeah, you could have just kept on talking.
Yeah, we could.
We'll just edit that out.
Yeah. We got a lot of editing. So, their next stop as they go up the coast is in a little town. Oh, no, I skipped something. So now they continue back up the coast. They go back to Quintero to drop off their guide.
Oh, yeah, because it's just like his mom is expecting him for Once.
He's been in lots of problems. He's going to have quite a story to tell.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Mom.
So Felipe Trongo gets dropped back off. They pay him for his services, guiding them to their first prize ship in Chile.
Yeah.
And they continue up the coast. There is a legend that they may have buried some of the treasure they picked up in Papudo, which is the next pirate-looking cove as you go up the coast of Chile.
It's very nice.
We've
been there. We've
yeah.
Been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next time we go, we got to bring some, like, metal detectors.
Oh, we should.
Supposedly, Drake was known for burying some of his treasure along the way when he couldn't carry it all. Like, in Panama, on his previous raids from the Caribbean side, sometimes they would get so much Spanish loot that they couldn't put it all in their ship, and they would bury it and like literally make like X marks the spot maps of where they buried their pirate treasure.
Gold is heavy, folks. Gold is heavy.
There's
it's not very buoyant. I mean, you can't make a ship out of gold. You can make a crown out of gold, but you can't make a ship out of gold.
So they gotta sometimes get rid of it.
Lead a horse to water. Yeah.
And there's a place in Papudo called Quebrada Francesa, which some people say it's not Francesa like French. It's Francesa like Francis Drake. And that's where he buried his treasure.
Knowledge drop.
So next time we go to Papudo,
We're going gold digging.
I'm bringing Megan and her little shovel.
Yeah, bring your child labor now. Bring your metal detector.
Go get your college education.
So now they're racing against time because there's probably Pablo Rivero style messengers running up the coast of inland, and they make it to their next stop, which is a little cove called Herradura. And that is near La Serena or Coquimbo, in like the Norte Chico of Chile, like, what is it, about a 5-hour drive north from Valparaiso or something.
Herradura means, like, ironsmith, doesn't it?
It's like a horseshoe bay.
A horseshoe, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I mean, there's a lot of bays called Herradura because it's like a horseshoe-shaped bay.
Okay.
And so there, they land again, try to stock up on fresh water, and this time, the Spanish have been alerted.
Ooh.
And so there's a squadron of Spanish soldiers that confront them, and at least one of the British guys is killed, and they cut off his head and put it on a pike and march it around on the beach to try to like intimidate the British pirates.
That's sad.
I mean, always sad.
It is, yeah. I've become attached to Drake and his remaining crew.
His roughshod group of misfits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's one less of them
ragtag.
Now.
They've been through a lot together.
Yeah, I mean, they've
had penguin together.
they've commiserated over the penguin barbecue.
You've had some bonding.
Just like, oh man, this sucks. Hand me more penguin. We forgot the buffalo sauce.
They continue up the coast, and their next stop is in Tarapacá, which is in the far north of Chile, near like the Atacama Desert,
which is the driest desert in the world. The
driest desert in the world.
Until recently,
I was there in January, and our hotel got flooded.
Oh wow! Climate change is real.
Yeah, the San Pedro River overflowed, and we got evacuated from our hotel.
That's crazy.
When my dad was visiting.
Were you okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
I mean, he's with us today. So.
Yeah, because maybe there's still some like trauma there.
Yeah.
He hasn't taken a shower since.
I'm still covered in mud from the flashlight.
Still have between my toes. So they're in Tarapacá.
In Tarapacá is where the river Loa, the Rio Loa. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Adele sing a song about this? Or the River Loa? No, the River Lee. Yeah, never mind.
I didn't get that reference.
I feel like she sings about like, in the deep. And deep is the opposite of low, so you're kind of on the thing. Like rolling in the deep.
Yep.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, the Adele connection is strong. Strong with this one.
She's British. Where the River Loa empties out into the Pacific, the Spaniards come across the British come across a sleeping Spaniard.
Ooh.
With seven
llamas. Was he on siesta?
Pablo Rivera has not arrived.
not to this spot.
Man.
And
but if he did, I mean, it was like yesterday, and he's just like, oh, there.
Déjame tomar mi siesta.
Una siesta. Fue una paella gigante que comí.
The British pirates, here we get a taste of like 1578 British humor. The British pirates in the original accounts describe this as, you know, coming across this sleeping Spanish fellow, and they say, we relieved him of the burden of the seven cases of silver that he had on his llamas.
We're so ironic. We're the friendly pirates.
Let me take that silver off your hands, sleeping Spanish.
Just imagine him waking up and just being like, hey!
Hold that!
I'm screwed.
Well, where are my seven cases of silver?
Did they at least leave
I'm
the llamas?
Going back to sleep.
They left the llamas, and where that river is, Rio Loa, it's basically like if you went west from Potosí mine in Bolivia, that's where that silver's coming from. Potosí was and is like one of the most mineral rich, or maybe the most mineral rich mine in the world. And so, I mean, I would feel bad for the Spanish in this story a little bit if it wasn't for the fact that they're stealing all the stuff from the indigenous
from
people.
The indigenous, yeah.
Who are then getting, you know, then the Spanish are getting it stolen from. So, it's just thieves stealing from thieves, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I don't think
the Incas probably stole it from somebody in the first place anyway.
Yeah, some other tribes that they conquered.
The children who are mining.
And then this is where I think so then Drake's next and final stop in Chile, in what's now Chile, is Arica.
The very north.
The northernmost city in Chile. So, in our south to north journey,
we've been everywhere.
In Chile, it's taken all these episodes. We finally made it.
Arica. We're in the north. And at that point, it wasn't even Chile.
How much time had passed?
Peru.
It was Peru. Yeah.
Not for our podcast recording, but
two
for
or 3 years. About 2 years has passed now.
Okay.
And so in Arica, they find some of their ships, but they're not laden with a lot of treasure. And so they're kind of disappointed. And this is where I think that Drake, if he was Drake the Rapper, would probably sing a little kind of nostalgic song about how things were easier when the Spanish didn't know he was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear this rap?
Please.
Drake?
Please. The good old days.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So when Jack explained that he wanted to kind of talk about, I think we've all heard about Francis Drake, the great pirate. He's kind of the most famous pirate, as we said, except for Johnny Depp. But now Drake is also associated with this rapper. So I said that, you know, to connect better with our audiences, especially the audiences maybe who are younger, a little more hip than us, we thought that we can somehow do a fusion and incorporate the Canadian Drake with the pirate Drake. So this is the world premiere of Jack's rap based on our lovely friend Francis the Drake, the pirate.
This is the world premiere.
No, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Is it not true?
I mean, it's the first time in the world that this has happened, so...
All right. There's a reason it's never happened before. You used to let me steal your silver and wine when I sailed up your coast. You let me steal your silver and gold when I sailed up your coast. You know when you see my ship, I'm here to rape and pillage. You know when you see my boat, that you better hide your host. Ever since I left from Plymouth, you thought I was bound for Alexandria. But I said to Chile, yeah, I fooled ya. Now I'm free to loot your booty, no prob. Ever since I left from Plymouth, you've been looking for me in the wrong place. I am the master of this boat race, but a Mapuche shot me in the face.
Oh, I loved it! I'm so impressed! I feel like the lyrics capture so well the journey and the growth of our Drake, no? Thank you, Canadian Drake, for capturing Francis the Pirate Drake.
All right, who's next? Who's next to lay down some rhymes?
Okay, no. I think that could be Matt.
Matt?
Me? Why?
What
is
you're a comedian.
I'm not comedian. I'm a comedian. You're a comedian.
I'm not a camel.
I'm not a cameloid.
Yeah. That was really good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I was impressed. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Epilogue?
Epilogue.
Epilogue.
Is it over now?
We take a break, or?
I think we can do it.
Just do it. Keep it running? Yeah, keep it running.
Yeah.
All right. So, Francis Drake has made it all the way up the coast of Chile, but his journey doesn't end there.
No, it doesn't. It does not. It goes, like, all the way up the Americas.
He still hasn't found his Ocean's 11 jackpot of Spanish gold that he's looking for. He got that ship in Valparaiso.
It's the gold fever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the main port, the capital of the Spanish Empire in South America at this point, is Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake is hearing rumors that this merchant ship called Nuestra Señora de la Inmaculada Concepción, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception.
Just like a fancy way of saying just like
the Virgin,
Virgin Mary.
Well, what's so weird about
grandeur,
this?
Grandeur, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you need a lot more words to describe
sound.
Nuestra
Señora de la Inmaculada Concepción,
Our Lady
of the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, there's only one. It's Mary.
Yeah, it's
they,
Mary.
They should just call the boat Mary.
Well, here's what they. This, it's funny you would think they should.
But there's
funny
so many Marias already in Spain.
I know.
It's funny you'd say that they should have a nickname for the boat because they do have a nickname for the boat.
Ooh.
And the nickname for the boat is something that's mentioned in all the original source texts I read about this, and the books about the original source text. But no one explains why it has this nickname. The nickname is the Caca Fuego.
Caca Fuego. Poop fire.
Which is like, I keep like, I think someone's going to explain why.
If
they
think
changed.
Of Mary, I do not think of poop fire.
It's not just Mary. It's,
I mean,
you know, the Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. I mean, I grew up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
The Immaculate Conception is the moment that Virgin Mary
becomes
pregnant by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is like the miracle myth of
it's
all.
It's a historical
and
land time.
land of before time.
No.
I love that
time.
Movie. I love the Land Before Time.
I do too.
That movie about dinosaurs.
Littlefoot?
Yeah.
No, but that's like a very, it changed the course of human history. If you believe, you know, the Bible.
And
it's
the Spaniards, you would assume
that
you don't
believe in the Bible, it still changed
the
course
of
human
history.
And you would assume that the Spaniards on board this ship are Catholic,
mm-hmm.
but they nicknamed the ship Caca Fuego.
Fire.
For everyone listening to us, caca is like a Chilean slang word for poop.
I think it's not just Chilean.
I don't think it's Chilean.
Okay.
I think it's Spanish.
Oh, it's like
poop
Spanish.
Fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Poop fire. Some called some translations called it shit fire, and
oh,
then changed
really?
That to spit fire.
Okay.
But it still doesn't explain why it was called Caca Fuego.
Maybe it moved very fast.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, was it powered by poop?
It was powered by the.
I mean, there was
that
energy.
There was that, you know, place on Mocha Island where like the earth farted.
Making connections.
Yeah. I think we've. I'm no Sherlock Holmes or Dr. Watson,
but we've come to that.
So I don't think it was very fast because Drake catches it.
Oh,
Drake
finds
out
he's our man.
He's fast.
He got to catch it.
And so he goes to Lima and finds out that ship is laden with treasure and on its way to Panama, and he catches it, and they take the Caca Fuego, which is the largest prize that they've ever taken.
Yes.
It has on board...
lots of caca and some fuego.
But this is like the Spanish are very proud of the ship.
Yeah, it's a...
It's like one of their main...
It's the treasure ship, and it, it has on board...
Pues.
It has on board...
Pongámoslo el nombre Caca Fuego para que no nos pescan los piratas.
Maybe
esto.
It's like a... If we call
like
it the Caca Fuego,
like
everyone will think it's full of... But here's what it was at. They actually found on it. It was 26 tons of silver, 13 chests of silver coins, 80 pounds of gold... piles of jewels and fine pearls the modern equivalent in dollars
of the Toronto public school teachers retirement fund.
That's sad. It's too soon to make jokes about that.
Why?
I don't even know what that's a reference to. I watch the news.
Okay. It's not a reference to anything.
I thought they were like striking on a union thing.
No. It's just like they're really rich.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In modern dollars, it would be $50 million.
Wow.
Of loot. So now they've hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
In modern dollars.
Yeah, like if you translated what that was worth then to, I don't know, some
like
books said it was
lottery,
$50 million.
But they won it by pirating.
They stole the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now.
And so did the Spanish, probably.
Right. The Spanish stole it from the Incans and.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Yeah.
And the Incans stole it from the people that they sacrificed
yeah.
to their gods.
And so. It takes them 4 days just to load that much booty
yeah.
into their ship, the Golden Hind.
The original pirate's booty.
Yeah.
It's a very good snack. We had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
So now they've essentially achieved their mission, but they keep sailing up north, and this is where, Matt, we're going to need you to do future research on Drake, because he goes all the way up the coast of California. There's a Drake Bay in California. There's different accounts, but it seems like he went as far north as Vancouver looking for the Northwest Passage, never found the Northwest Passage,
mm-hmm.
turned back, and then sailed back to England the other way around the world, stopping in...
Back along the Chilean-American coast?
No, he goes around the world,
around
through the Pacific.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he goes to the Philippines, he goes to the Spice Islands, the same route that Magellan had taken, basically.
But he didn't shoot across the Pacific like Magellan did. He went up all the way up north, and then
went over.
Right, it's a different route
over.
Than Magellan.
Yeah.
Magellan didn't explore the west coast of South America at all.
Right.
When Magellan came out of the Strait of Magellan, he
just
went
like,
for
oh,
3 months until he got to Guam.
So
yeah.
peaceful.
Yeah.
Let's spend 3 months on a boat.
Yeah.
Going crazy, going insane.
But Drake makes it to Canada
mm-hmm.
and inspires the name of the future rapper from Canada, Aubrey Drake Graham, who won the Grammy and inspired that awesome parody that we
yeah.
yeah.
did.
And
yeah.
did not want to pull
it.
Weird
Al Yankovic, call us.
So Drake makes it back to England. Via the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa, and comes back loaded up with treasure.
Yeah.
And
alive.
That, and Queen Elizabeth, then, even though she had
secretly.
Not officially sanctioned this mission, it becomes such a big deal that she can no longer like
hide it.
Deny that
mm-hmm.
you know she supports this guy, and she comes on board Golden Hind.
Ooh.
And knights Francis Drake. So it's Sir Francis Drake.
That's why he's a sir.
It's a well-deserved recognition, I would say.
Well, I mean, he did rape and pillage quite a bit, so...
But this is true.
Yeah, I don't know whose side I'm on in this. It's interesting. It's like, we speak English, but we're not British.
Yeah.
And I'm Catholic, and he hated Catholics. I'm of Irish descent. He destroyed whole communities of Irish people.
Mm-hmm.
For the purpose of this story, he's our anti-hero, I guess, you know?
Yeah, he's our Walt White. He's our Walt White Whale.
Yeah. Oh, Mocha Dick.
Oh, it all comes back to Mocha Dick.
That's true. Like, historically, but I think at the time, he was at least quite successful at what he set out to do. And
right.
unlike Magellan, he did not die in the process.
Right, so he actually is the first person
to
circumnavigate
the
world.
He took a spear to
the
face.
Right.
And
just like,
survived
well, Magellan didn't, it was the writer who Pigafetta got the spear to the face, right?
Forehead.
Forehead,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Magellan also.
Thanks for paying attention
Magellan
to previous
also,
podcasts.
Magellan also.
I'm a loyal listener.
Magellan also took a spear to the face.
Long time listener, first time participant.
But since Magellan didn't actually make it all the way back around the world, and his ship got taken over by Elcano, his like a backup captain.
Yeah.
Really, Drake
then,
is the first
the
person
Portuguese.
To captain
yeah.
a mission all the way around the world
yeah.
and be the captain the whole time.
Yeah.
And some of his legacy, I mean, here in Chile, it's funny, we live in this country where part of the country is, it's part of the history is the pirate history. So
yeah, yeah.
Chile was, we're only talking about 30 years after the Spanish marched down from Peru and, like, founded Santiago, mm-hmm. pirates are showing up. So it's a part of the early history of Chile. Yeah. And, of course, pirates were their enemies, but there's a statue of Francis Drake in Coquimbo. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe Chile has a good sense of humor about it, or, you know,
yeah.
it's not... Over 400 years have gone by, so they just recognize it as part of history.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy. It's like, ooh. Tragedy plus time equals, like, a statue about this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got the Drake Passage named after him. He's got a statue in Coquimbo.
Yeah.
He's got a rapper named after him. And
he's got a new song.
He has a Grammy.
No, it's true. It's interesting, though, that... it kind of shows also, like, how politicians or, like, queens then sign in that time of age worked. You know, it's kind of like, we need to protect our people, but kind of also modern-day politicians, they aren't really concerned about what happened to the other people, as long as their own interests were protected.
Right. So she didn't really want to risk war with Spain at the moment, uh-huh. but Francis Drake then does go on to fight in open war with the Spanish, and the famous naval battle where the Spanish Armada is defeated in 1588... Drake is part of that. Mm-hmm. Drake is one of the captains of the British forces at that point. So,
I mean, you know, at this point, he's killed a lot of people. So, I mean, just another day at the office for him.
Yeah.
Just like, he's killed a lot of Catholics at this point.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, he's a Catholic killer.
Let's hire him.
Well, he's a ne'er-do-well. Mm-hmm. He's all these things, like, all these pirate words, all this pirate lore, like, this
it started
is
with him.
I mean, he wasn't quite the first one, but he was the most accomplished one.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's a painting of him. Have you seen one?
There's portraits of him. Portrait of him. What else
devil.
Do we want to say?
Thank you for... And this was, I think, one of the first podcasts that we kind of included a mix of both modern and...
Yeah,
historical.
We're bringing
it
into the 21st century.
21st century. So I think it was interesting because it's all kind of how also like history and
what did we learn today?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's good, like the, like at the end of Full House where they're like play some
there's
piano
the moral
music.
Of the story.
Well, you see,
oh,
Michelle.
He seems to kind of be like a redhead. It's kind of interesting.
Ginger.
He's a ginger.
Oh.
Ginger's taking over the world.
That's a sign that we should wrap it up. The battery of the
battery
computer
is running low.
Yeah.
Well.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be a part of this.
Thanks,
Sarah,
for sharing your wisdom with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, come on.
Your wit with us.
Figure out a way to get yourself involved in another of our podcasts.
Okay, I will do some more research.
Easter Island. Juan Fernandez.
Yeah.
Or parts in between. Who knows?
Yeah. We could put this out there to the general listener. If people have ideas for cool places in Chile that we should talk about or stories... Mm-hmm. You can email us at skinnycountry@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd love to have it be a more inclusive kind of group effort here.
And if you find Drake's buried treasure in Papudo, don't tell anyone, but send us an email.
What is it, like 10%?
Yeah,
like
finder's
fee.
Yeah, we get a finder's fee. Yeah.
All right.
Well.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Matt Comedy.
Jack McCabe.
And Sarah Schilling.
Our special guest.
Signing off.
Bye-bye.